In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In this time of prayer tonight, here in this oratory in Manhattan, we want to consider Jesus as the Good Shepherd, which is the theme of tomorrow's Mass. But before that, I wanted to quote St. Josemaria in one of his homilies called The Great Unknown. In a way, I think by going to Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we'll arrive here, well, to the end goal, life in Christ. And dead men in whom sin had destroyed life came to life again. We can consider this in its context a bit later in this time of prayer, but perhaps we can all relate to this a bit. Dead men in whom sin had destroyed life come to life again. How good God is, how merciful God is. Perhaps at times we feel a bit dead because of sin. Indeed, we are sinners, and Lord, we come to you with trust. We seek your mercy. And in that sense, yes, Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. You are the one who leads us to the true pastures of life. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God gives us his name to Moses. The people have been, they're being oppressed, the people of God, their slavery in Egypt, because they're dead, okay? It's a representation of sin there in that captivity in Egypt. They can't thrive, they can't function, they can't live as they should really live. And that symbolizes sin, that slavery. But of course, God, in his goodness, does not abandon them. The Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. There's this promise that God gives the people through Moses. God loves his people. God does not want to leave his people in death, we could say, in slavery. God does not want to leave us in sin and in our troubles, which we have. Lord, I need you. Lord, I thank you for your presence in my life. I thank you for this way of salvation, this history of salvation that God has shown us. I shall be your God and you shall be my people. That's the right place to be. Lord, I want that to really be true in my life. Am I there? Am I trying to get there? Am I allowing the Good Shepherd, Jesus, to bring me there? The Lord is my God. There's nothing I shall want. Indeed, Lord, you are the Good Shepherd. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Indeed, God is the real reality. God is everything. In fact, as soon as we start adding on to I am, we have to be careful. I am, that already says a lot. God is. God, Now, we do, you know, through revelation, through God's own words, we can put some flesh onto those words, I'm going to put it that way. In our limited capacity, in our human nature, we can't see the depth, of course. We can't see the depth of that name of God, I Am, Yahweh. But it is good at times to ponder that as it is, I Am. God said to Moses, I am who am. Thank you, God. In awe, we ponder you. We be still and know that I am God. One of the Psalms of the Old Testament, Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. But Jesus is the incarnation. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus takes on our human nature, like us in all things but sin, St. Paul writes. And Jesus preaches. And in his preaching, we have in John's gospel, we have this theme that comes up in the preaching of Jesus, this I Am. Of course, God is I Am. And you can probably think of them in your prayer now, remembering the gospel of St. John. I am the bread of life. We had that in today's gospel, the Mass, the Eucharist. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. He says that to Martha after Lazarus had died and was in the tomb. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. So our Lord in his preaching, in a sense, he's identifying himself as God. I am. And these are the ways that God shows us his intervention into our life. He loves us so much. I will be your God and you will be my people. So when we do realize that, yes, we are dead because of sin, we have this confidence. God's mercy endures forever. And that, although it's certainly true what St. Jose Maria describes here, a dead man in whom sin had destroyed life, come to life again. So we should always have hope. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. You lead us to the truth. And so while we feel at times, and it's true that we are, well, yes, the soul is dead. Mortal sin is death to the soul. Okay, what do I do with that? What happens next? The Lord wants us to trust in him. The Lord is rich in mercy. The devil wants us to despair. Oh, there's nothing saving me from this. I'm doomed to eternal damnation. Well, that's the devil's words. But the word of God is living and active. I will be your God. You will be my people. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So in the gospel, again, the gospel tomorrow, well, it's each Sunday of the cycle. There's a cycle there's three cycles in the Sunday Mass, A, B, and C. We're in year C right now. It's a brief section of John's chapter 10. It does make reference to Jesus being the Good Shepherd. We can take a look ahead of that at the beginning of John's chapter 10, which also comes up on the Good Shepherd Sunday, depending on the year. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Lord is leading the sheep. We're the sheep, of course. He's got a purpose. We have to go somewhere. We don't want to be penned up all life long. Or in the sheepfold, and the fenced area there. The Lord leads us out. The Good Shepherd leads us out. We have to get out there. And we have to hear the voice of the Lord to get out there where we're called to be. There are other voices that call for our attention. And that's in tomorrow's gospel. It's just three or four verses. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Lord is telling us there's a battle going on for our souls. Let's not be naive. There are voices out there, and wolves, let's say, out there who want to snatch the sheep. And so we're called to follow the Good Shepherd. Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. And it's not just a job he's fulfilling, right? This imagery of the Good Shepherd, perhaps it's a bit difficult for us here amidst the wonderful buildings and offices and sidewalks and buses and subways of New York City to imagine. I don't think we see a lot of sheep, shepherds and sheep going down the street too often. Maybe we haven't seen, I haven't seen a sheep in years, I don't think. Once in a while you get out to the country, but I just isn't. So we might have to sort of conjure up, but remember, okay, what is that about? The sheep, and the shepherd and his sheep. Well, Jesus gives us a sense here in his preaching, okay? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So I suppose this has happened. Jesus is speaking to people who know the land, the law of the land, and it resonated with them. And they had to try to protect their sheep as best they could. And a hireling, the guy's just getting whatever you want to call it, an hourly wage to watch over the sheep. He sees that wolf coming. He says, ooh, boy. I don't love them this much. I know these sheep aren't mine. I'm going to give a pass to this wolf to save, to save my own life. Well, Jesus says, I don't do that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Thank you, Lord. And of course, the ultimate laying down of his life will come on Good Friday, on the cross. And he dies for us. Jesus dies for us on Good Friday. What a good shepherd. And again, there's something that we have to be saved from. There's this battle going on. These wolves want to snatch the sheep. And Jesus is the one who saves us from that. He truly saves us from the devil. The devil, St. Peter writes, is like a wolf that prowls the earth, seeking to devour. Well, the Lord protects us, but we have to freely go to him. He doesn't force us to listen to his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Well, he's offering his guidance in our lives. Do I follow Christ? Is Christ first in my life? Do I know the life of Christ and try to live it out? Again, this point of St. Jose Maria, the second point of the way. May your behavior and your conversation be such that everyone who sees or hears you can say, this man reads the life of Jesus Christ. I was just in a class this morning that some of us here were at, when the points was made, what the credibility of the faith. Why should we believe Jesus? You know, just even at the reasonable level, people of the day, why would they or not follow Jesus? What was the credibility that he would have? And the common answers that the church gives us, well, his miracles. You know, someone seeing a miracle of Jesus, indeed, would probably have, you know, if they're reasonable, would have, wow, there's something special here. Maybe even, yeah, he is God. To do that, to perform that miracle that he just did, like the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, right? She's talking to him. He's just a man. To her, he's just a man. And he even says to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is speaking to you. And then the conversation continues. Jesus loves her. He wants to help her. He wants to save her. She's a bit resistant. And at a certain point, Jesus says, well, go get your husband. And she says, oh, I have no husband. And Jesus said, well, that's true. You've spoken the truth. You've had five, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And that you've said the truth. And that opens up her heart, and she's able to reckon, and she'll go back and say, I've met the Messiah. That seeing of her soul, a miracle of sorts, was a certain, there was a credibility there. And so we have all the reason to believe as well. The resurrection itself. Yes, wow, the empty tomb, they believed. The soldiers, there were soldiers who, things were happening, miracles were happening, we believe. And then, you know, the miracles continued after the resurrection of our Lord. And throughout history, there's miracles that move people to believe. So, and one of the motives of credibility outside of the resurrection and the miracles and the prophecies that come true is just holy lives. That can lead people to follow the Good Shepherd too. That people who see holiness, maybe that'll spur them to give Jesus a chance. When they see a Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, they're giving herself to the poorest of the poor. That might move someone to say, oh, maybe there's something about this Christianity, this Jesus. Or just the list of saints throughout history. St. Maximum Kolbe, who gives his life for that prisoner who had a lot of children. I'll take his place there in the starvation cell. Maybe some of the soldiers, I'm sorry, some of the soldiers, yes, maybe some of the soldiers there, the Nazi soldiers, or other prisoners, seeing that, who knows, maybe that moved them to embrace God, to embrace Christianity. We don't even know about. So, may your behavior and your conversation be such that people can say, this man reads the life of Jesus Christ. It's worth it to give the Good Shepherd a chance to really follow Jesus. How do we do that? How do we hear the voice of Jesus? Well, some ways, traditional ways that the church teaches us, that my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Well, Scripture itself. Do I read the Bible? Do I read the life of Christ? Do I know the life of Christ? Great. Okay, that's a little common custom, norm of life. Every day, you should read some of the Scripture. St. Josemaria encouraged people, read the Scripture. In fact, one of his points in another book of his, The Forge, he says, when you open the Holy Gospel, think that what is written there, the words and deeds of Christ, is something that you should not only know, but live. And the point goes on, but read the gospel and live that. Try to live that out. You know, we're sinners. And we encounter death to the soul, perhaps, or even maybe damage to the soul with venial sins, but let's try. Let's try to open the Holy Scripture and live the life of Christ. Prayer. How do I hear Jesus? How do I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Prayer. Here we are, Lord, we're here in your presence. Thank you for again, this beautiful oratory, your presence here in the Eucharist. I'll pray. Lord, I want to, or walking down the street, prayer. Yes, going to bed, before going to bed, great, great time to pray. But we got to pray during the day. If we believe in God, if we believe God is my everything, he deserves more than a few Hail Marys before going to bed, or a few words. It's good, keep doing that. But now one priest said, ask someone do you pray? And, I say my little prayers before going to bed. He just said, well, come on, you got any more than that. Or that encounter, a bishop mentioned it at a talk he was giving. Looking back on his early days of his priesthood, just a few months ordained, he was at a conference and he met Mother Teresa, this nun. She wasn't, quote, famous at the time, but there's this nun at this conference, and he talked to her, and she was this young priest, and she was encouraging him, and at a certain point, she said to him, do you pray? And this young priest, bishop, this young priest said, well, yeah, sure, I pray. I pray the breviary, and maybe I mentioned a few other things, like before going to bed or something. And she said, well, but do you pray at other times? You ever take time and just stop and be in the presence of our Lord and open your heart to him? And she's basically described interior life in a way of prayer and that way. And he said, well, no, I don't do that. And he said, Mother Teresa just sort of shook her head and said to him, you won't last long. Whoa. So I think he took her words to heart and he started to pray. He really prayed to open his heart to God, take that time. So we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, obviously, in our prayer. And it takes an effort. Like St. Peter there in Mark's Gospel, how Jesus went out early to pray, remember that morning? And Peter went and sought him out. Peter went out to talk to Jesus. So we have to do that. Another way, a third way, perhaps, to hear the voice of Jesus is precise in our Eucharistic devotion. After all, Jesus is the bread of life. He wants to feed us with his life. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And great things can happen when we are united to Christ in the Eucharist. So let's prepare our soul well and receive him, certainly every Sunday, and hopefully we can get to Mass during the week. That's a great thing. Great devotion. It's made a lot of saints that daily reception of the Eucharist and worship of God at Mass. So the Eucharist, really take good care of the Eucharist. And ask for faith. If we're a little bit shaky, well, really? God is there in that what looks like a piece of bread? Oh, Lord, increase my faith. Like Peter in today's Gospel. After Jesus spoke about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, many disciples had left him. And Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? And Peter responds with those words of faith. Lord, to whom do we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you're the Son of the Holy One. So faith, the Eucharist. Fourthly, spiritual direction. We can hear the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in spiritual direction. There might be some words. We go to a random confession or a confession where we can, a priest, and he might say something, a little advice. We'll take it to heart. Try to put it into practice. Or maybe we have a regular spiritual director. Very good thing. Very good practice. Okay. Try to take that to heart. Really put it into practice. It's not that person is Jesus. No. In fact, that person is definitely a sinner. Well, yeah, I'd say that in my own case. But allow the Holy Spirit to work through that spiritual direction. If anything, at times, it's in spite of the spiritual director, that we're going to benefit from the words of Jesus that come to us. And then, fifthly, and there are many other ways, I suppose, to hear the voice of Jesus, but confession itself, the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of joy. Jesus saves us. That's the name Jesus. God saves. And in confession, we are saved. The Good Shepherd takes us where we need to go. Those wolves want to snatch us. The wolves want us to remain quiet. The wolves want us to stay in our sin and our death, and we don't want that. Indeed, God in His mercy is always there, like the merciful father of that parable, the prodigal son. He's waiting for us to come back, and He covers us with kisses. For my son was dead and has come back to life. There's a party. Give him a robe, a ring, sandals. They had a wonderful symbolism. He's made whole again through that coming back to the Father. And that's what we do in confession. And in that way, indeed, dead men in whom sin had destroyed life come to life again. And just as the first Christians did, we rejoice, the Saint Jose Maria says, when we contemplate the power of the Holy Spirit and see the results of His action on the mind and will of His creatures. Thank you, Lord, the shepherd who loves us so much, who forgives us and who lays down His life for us. In his book, The Lord, Romano Guardini sort of defines, if you will, gives a description of sacrifice. What is sacrifice? It is a man's offering of something which belongs to him, something precious and without flaw. This he gives away. He gives it to God, for God to keep. So this Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He gives himself to the Father for us. A complete immolation. He doesn't hold anything back. To express the completeness of God's ownership and the cancellation of man's, in a sense, I don't own myself. I belong to God. The gift is destroyed. The beverage which man himself could have drunk is poured on the ground. The first fruits of his harvest are burned. The animal is slain, consumed by fire, and thus transported to its creator. That's the way the sacrifices were carried out, and you see in the Old Testament. And Jesus is the perfection of sacrifices. Of course, God doesn't need that, as Guardini says here. One might ask, what in heaven's name God is supposed to do with such gifts? Well, our heart. It's this sacrifice, this true sacrifice. We want to give you our heart. I want to love you, Lord, with all my heart and all my soul and all my might. And that has to be lived out. It's not just words. As sinners that we are, and we need to come back. We need dead men, life destroyed by sin, come back to life. But that's because we get to confession, and we're going to really make an effort to let our behavior and our conversation be such. And that takes sacrifice on our part, self-denial. Sacrifice is a passing over to God. In its deepest sense, to sacrifice means to enter into the life of God by renouncing the life of the world. Now, we are in the world, and we're trying to sanctify the world, and Lord, we thank you for that. So that's not what he's not saying that we should flee the world. And some are called to that. It's a beautiful vocation. The contemptus mundi. That conventual life, beautiful life, beautiful way to give glory to God and be an example to others. God is what comes, God is what's most important. God is who is most important. But most of us are called to sacrifice ourselves in the world. And in that way, yes, we too can imitate the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for us. Well, let's ask our Blessed Mother to help us to be attentive to the voice of the Good Shepherd. In reading Scripture, in our prayer, in loving the Eucharist, in spiritual direction, in confession. He loves it. There's the Good Shepherd. He's speaking to us. So, Mary, help us to be attentive, just like you, Mary, at the scene of the Annunciation and in her whole life. Mary's attentive to the voice of God. And she shows us the way to listen to Him. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.